Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's Lisa, and I am here with my potus goddess, as always.
Lisa. JK. JK. It's Tawny. Hello, my love. How are
Hello,
you?
Dear. I'm well, thanks. I'm well. How are you?
My gorgeous girl in green.
Oh, please. You are my gorgeous girl in brown. We have a great guest with us today. We're very excited. Camille St. Martin is here. And Camille has a book called Spilled, which is about recovery, but it is poetry. And we love poetry. And we feel like there has not been really, I haven't seen a real poetry book that speaks to recovery and everything behind it and the thoughts in this way. And so we were delighted that Camille could join us today. And welcome to Recovery Rocks, Camille.
Thank you for having me. I feel honored.
No, we're thrilled. We're thrilled. So give our listeners a little bit of your background, why you wrote the book, why, you know, your poetry, all of that.
Yeah, the book really coincides with my journey through recovery as well. And when I was drinking, I felt very trapped in my head. I felt very isolated, and I didn't even know that other people were like going through the same hell that I was in. And actually, I want to take a second and thank you for putting your book out, because it, Lisa, because it was an inspiration for me to be vulnerable and to even share things out there.
Tawny, I'm honored.
And then Tawny, actually, you don't know this, but when I quit drinking, actually, the first step for me was to re-educate myself, or I like to say like brainwash myself. And I did that by reading sober blogs every morning, like without fail. And yours was on my rotation. Like I read through every single one of your blogs on the, it was Sobriety Party.
Yeah.
That blog. Yeah.
That was back in the day. And yeah, you know, Camille, I'm going to give the mic right back to you, but I also just want to echo Lisa was a huge part of my book journey and my writing journey as well. So,
seeing people
melting my cold black heart.
seeing other people share their stories like helped me to not feel so alone. And I like I said before, I felt alone for a long time. I mean, years and years. And I was looking back through my journals when I first started my recovery process, and it inspired a lot of my poems, because I saw like how trapped I was. Like I felt like I was on day one, like several times. Like a lot of my journal entries were like day one, day one, day one. And I actually have a poem about that. But anyways, like, like I said, when I first quit drinking, I was reading blogs and I was journaling a lot, and that was inspiring me to write a lot and like look through my habits a lot. And then it morphed into poetry. And I just like gave myself a lot of space and time to get back in touch with that creative self that I was like when I was 17 before I started drinking. And I used to write a lot of poetry then. And I kind of got away from that as I was drinking. I got away from my creativity. I thought it made me more creative, but no, it was a lie.
We often think that, don't we?
I certainly did.
And I this writing just kind of exploded out of me, and it kind of spans the time. 2020 is when I first quit drinking, and then it was really a process of like digging through my habits and looking back on myself and like working through a lot of shame, guilt, regret, and coming to terms with that, coming to terms with who I was, and learning to love myself and coming into self-acceptance. And so that poem, or the poems kind of span that journey through the 2 years of like starting recovery and then like just kind of coming into myself, being sober, loving my life sober. And but a lot of it is looking back at myself and like working through all that and healing that as well. So
do you want to share with our listeners one of your poems?
Sure.
That would sort of give them an idea about this?
Yeah.
I'm so excited that you that we have a poetry collection in the Quitlet canon now.
Oh my gosh.
There's, to my knowledge, I don't think there are any. Are there other ones, Camille?
Very few, but I did not relate. It was
okay.
I think my style is very honest and like in your face and like raw, and I think that it needed that. But yeah, I did not find like a lot of poetry out there that I related to. There's two or three books, but this book has been really well received, and I have had a couple people be like, "Oh, it feels like you're in my head."
And
that feels really good because I felt very in my own head. So it's nice to like be able to have people relate. But this book is, or this poem is called A Poem for That Somebody. It's hard facing who you used to be. And people think they know you, that crazy wild girl, drunk me. I don't ever want to see her again. Even if people like that version, it's not real me. So my questions are, how do I get over my inhibitions? Slowly. How do I handle these emotions? Gently. How do I find my sense of humor again? Patiently. That girl's humor was barbed anyways, snarky, sarcastic, and mean. No wonder people avoided me. I am sorry to the people I unintentionally hurt who didn't deserve the sharp slice of a poison tongue. I'm sure it stung. I was so mean. Why? I want to tell that girl, it's okay to cry. You are loved. You are one with the universe, the stars, and the moon. Soon, soon, you will see. In the meantime, please stop killing me because we are on a slow death march with every liquor store stop, backed up bottles down the hall. It's all going to be okay. Please just listen to me. Stop trying to be someone you're not. You are loving, kind, sensitive, not this razor-tongued demon that shoots digs and barbs. How far down this path do we need to go? Please don't die with this disease. Please settle into your heart instead of letting every upset restart a drunken spiral of denial, a pile of disasters you've started to call life. I need you to fight. You are better than that. You are love. You are light.
I'm snapping. I'm
We're
clapping.
Snapping. Clapping.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for reading that. Like, while you were reading that, I was just thinking, like, how fucking special it is that the three of us all turned to writing to figure out why we were drinking the way we drank. You know, like, it's I think it's really special because, like, you ask these questions, like, what do I do with my inhibitions? Like,
yeah, I love that. That jumped in me too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I think there's this misconception where people think getting sober is just not drinking. And that's actually like a pretty small part of it.
Yeah.
It's this work that you just read about. It's like, it's figuring out who you are without the alcohol, without playing this role, without trying to people please.
Yeah. It's relearning.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. Like, yes. Like you just said, you're relearning. You're meeting yourself for the very first time. And that's what I got from what you just read. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I love it too, because, I was just going to say, like, the way that, you know, it is getting in, like, the way you're writing to yourself also just does feel like getting into the head of what it was like before, and I'm sure this is why people are responding the way they are and saying, you know, like, you got inside my head.
Yeah. This because really... I feel like it almost becomes a letter to, because it was, a lot of it is a letter to my past self. And then, so then it becomes a letter to anyone that is in that space that I was in, where I just felt stuck and I needed healing and love. So
what was it that made you decide to quit? Because you didn't have like a big crash out or.
No, although I was just thinking this morning that, you know, I had some moments that would probably be other people's rock bottoms, but weren't mine.
Yeah, I get it.
But I was very good at like keeping it together, kind of like your book, like, you know, like it looks good on the outside, but but it should have been, you know, and it would have been other people's rock bottoms. Like I said before, I wanted to quit drinking for a long time, and I just felt really stuck. And I actually had gone through, I read Marie Kondo. Do you know Marie Kondo?
Yeah,
Her whole motto is to release things that don't bring you joy and to only have things around you that bring you joy. So I went through that with all of my physical stuff, and it kind of started spilling out into other parts of my life. And it was during the pandemic.
It was like an emotional decluttering, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was the beginning of the pandemic. It was 2020. And like, I was drinking one or two bottles of wine by myself at night alone. And like, all my habits were staring me right in the face. It wasn't like I could go out and have an excuse like, oh, I'm going to go out and have a drink with this person, then I'm going to keep drinking at home. Or, you know, all these excuses that were there before. It was really just like, oh, this is like a habit that I'm doing every day. Like, why? Mm-hmm. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, oh my God, this doesn't bring me joy. Like, it's just like, I'm a prisoner of my habits, but it's not making me joyful. Like, it doesn't do anything beneficial for me. And I was like, I need to change. I need to do something different. And so then that's when I decided to re-educate myself. And I was like, I'm going to like start reading sober blogs every morning, and I'm just going to take 2 weeks off, is what I said to myself at first. And I like felt so great for those 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm just going to keep going. But I was actually like changing my habits this time, and like thinking about all my habits by like reading other people's stories. And I was journaling every morning, like really getting into the whys of things. Like, and I had time because it's the pandemic, you're just at home. And I was like, you know, why do I want to have this drink right now? Like, I got into an argument with someone and I wanted a drink, and I just journaled through it instead. And I was like,
ooh,
I was like,
good for you. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm just like upset, and maybe I just need some hydration, or like, I don't need to numb it, you know? Like,
maybe I'm just, are you just hungry? You need a nap, like.
It's
but yeah,
so
and
hot.
Then I have a line in my book that says, you don't learn from the feelings if you drink them away. And so I learned a lot about that, about facing my feelings and my emotions head on. And I write about that a lot too, about the courage that it takes.
Yeah.
To relearn life sober, like we said.
Yeah. Did you write poetry before, or was this like a new medium for you?
When I was much younger, when I was like 17 or 18, I wrote a ton of poetry. I was super creative. I would go for walks and write poetry, and I just loved that. And then I kind of got away from that in my like late 20s. I actually got into marketing. And so I very much felt like I had this marketing brain going all the time. And I was writing like Facebook ads for people. I was writing blogs for people, but I wasn't taking time to do my own writing.
Yeah.
And so when I quit drinking, I was like, oh, I already am a writer. Like, I'm spending all my time writing for clients and that kind of thing. I just need to spend some like creative time myself and like get back in touch with my poetry. And so that's what I did. Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah. I did have some poems like that came out here and there, like throughout my drinking. But it wasn't like this. It wasn't like it was just like exploding onto the page. But there are a couple that I picked out from that are also in the book.
It's so cathartic.
Yeah.
It really is. Lisa, do you ever write poetry?
No.
I don't all the time, but there are times when I'm going through something and words just come out of me in stanzas as opposed to essays, you know? And I think it's because my biggest literary influences were songwriters. I spent so much time analyzing song lyrics, you know, but when people were like reading the greats, you know, I've never read a lot of the literary classics. I just read like Mick Jagger and Bob Dylan's Stevie Nicks poetry. Jim Morrison, my first love. But when I first started dating my now husband, I had a lot of these feelings coming up of like just confusion and love and just how to be sober and in love and being how to regulate my emotions. Like just so much came up, and I just, it all came out and put in the form of poetry that I was just writing on the subway, you know, to and from work. And I actually self-published those. There's one copy, and I gave it to Nick. I gave it to him for Valentine's Day one year. And that, you know, I really haven't written poetry since then. And, you know, maybe something else will come up where it'll happen again. But I just, I wanted to share my poetry story.
Yeah. I also get inspired by music, and also just reading other people's poetry just gets me in that mindset, and then all of a sudden it spills out. Just reading other people.
One of the things that I really took from reading your poems was that they are almost like almost like individual meditations, you know. It reminded me of when I would, like, for difficult times or just when I felt like I wanted or needed something, like I always, in my office and then at home, I always had books of meditations, and I could sort of pull out a meditation and read it. You know, there's different ones. Like I was introduced very early to like A Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps and those kinds of things. But, you know, meditation books for women. And I just thought, as I was reading your poems, I'm like, these are like, do the same thing that having a meditation book nearby would do. Because there's kind of like, you really address so many topics, thoughts, feelings that go on throughout recovery that, you know, I could see somebody, I could see myself pulling it out and, you know, and finding that poem that spoke to it at a particular time, and it being really, you know, kind of like something to have in the sobriety toolkit, you know, as something to go to, you know, not having to necessarily read it all the way through, but to just use it as a resource, you know, an additional sober resource, you know, that a lot of us really kind of collect these kinds of things. And it's a great addition, I think, to, like Tawny said, in the poetry sense, of course, too, but it also is a meditation, I think, of it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I've had a couple of people give me that same feedback. And someone else was saying, like, each poem kind of feels like a story in itself that you can give some thought to. That's great to hear.
I do have a publishing nerd question, if I may, Camille. So I'm curious why you went the self-publishing route and what that experience was like for you.
It was a lot of work. I went that route because I have a lot of marketing background experience and business management experience. And so I guess maybe it seemed like a fun challenge. And I also felt like it would give me more control over things. And I just wanted to try it. And so I looked into doing the traditional route. And I feel like it could have been successful doing that as well. But I just wanted more of that control as far as the business aspect of it. And it's been a fun learning process. Like, I like to learn. Something that I'm like constantly doing. And so, yeah, I've just really been diving deep into the self-publishing world the last year, and there's a lot.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I did the traditional route, and I teach classes on publishing, like book publishing. And so people often ask me about the self-publishing option, and I can't speak to it because I don't have experience in it. I've definitely researched it because I was on the fence of like, which way do I want to go?
Yeah.
But it's a question that comes up a lot. And I know people that listen are readers and writers and think about, you know, maybe writing their own book one day. So I'm glad that you were able to speak to the self-publishing option.
Yeah. There's a lot of bits and pieces that go into it, but there's also a ton of resources and some really great communities out there. Like, there's a huge Facebook group for self-publishing support, and there's like 90,000 people in it. And like, anytime I would have a question, I would just go in there and get feedback on my cover or that kind of thing.
That's so cool. What's that support group? It is a support group. Let's be real. What is that support group called?
it's called Self-Publishing Support Group, I believe.
And
It's on Facebook. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. We can put that in our show notes. Cause some of our listeners might be interested in that. Thank you.
Yeah. Cause I think the more people that can get their sober stories out there, the better. But you know, the hard part comes after is when you have to do all the marketing.
Yes. I just finished a 6-month book tour that just about killed me. And, I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what, how has it been? I know, you know, launching out into the world, it becomes very real, you know, like, oh, here's like, you know, it was for me, I know people, I knew that people would know, you know, all these aspects of my story. It was still very, it was a very new experience to have.
Yeah.
Really have seen into me in a whole different way.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I mean, I felt like very exposed the first couple of weeks. I mean, just even like could physically feel it in my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, oh, it's out in the world now and like anyone can read it. And it's really exciting to have people read it that it is helping, but like to, you know, to have your friends and family be reading all your deep, dark secrets. Just like, but I always told myself that, that doesn't matter. Like, it's worth getting my story out there, even if it just like helps like one or two people.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. You get used to it, but and also it will always be outweighed by the gratifying feeling.
Yeah. But it felt great to get it out there. It was actually like it was a 3-year process for me.
Yeah.
I was wanting it to take 2 years. I'm actually having a baby in a month.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And I could
Holy
have
shit. Congrats, girl.
And I could have still like waited to have like all the right bits and pieces in place as far as like a book launch and that kind of thing. And, but then I was like, I just want to get this out before, like this completes a journey for me and a process for me that needs to get out there before this next stage in my life. So
I totally get that. That's
that is
wow.
So cool.
1 month, month. That is incredible.
Actually, I'm due on the 24th.
Oh my God, 3 weeks. It's like 3 weeks. That's incredible. And your baby gets to have a sober mama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift. I always, with my sponsees who have kids, you know, and they worry, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? I'm like, you're sober. You're giving them the benefit of a mother living a sober life. Like, incredible.
Yeah.
Our mutual friend, Irina Gonzalez, she writes about sobriety and motherhood. There's one time I was having like a really frank conversation with her. I was like, what if I'm a bad mom? and, you know, spiraling. I don't have kids, but, you know, maybe one day. But I was like, what if I'm a bad mom? Maybe I shouldn't have kids. And she's like, if you're worried about being a bad mom, then you're not going to be a bad mom.
And that's exactly right.
I think about that, like, shitty parents are not trying to become better parents. So right. that always stuck in my head. And I really appreciated that perspective.
I think that's true. Before we dig into our music minute, do you want to read us another poem?
Sure. This poem is called Blackout Drunk. I'm sure we've all been there.
I was hoping you were going to read that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Spilled, splattered, like it didn't matter. The morning after, trying to piece it together, filling in the holes bit by bit without wanting to admit, I couldn't remember. I can only guess at how I acted, what I said, what I did, too embarrassed to ask. So instead, I guess through his questions, make assumptions through his accusations. I can't believe you. I wanted to talk to you about, what did you mean when you said, why did you say, who are you? How you acted is someone I never knew. I don't know her either. She comes out drunk and hides behind, I don't remember. So many times I heard, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? No, it wasn't me. It was that other girl. She steals my heart. She uses my face, replaces my words with sloppy drunk slurs, then blurs out my memory. So much so, I wake up empty, a hole in my heart, a hole in my soul. I told you she took it, filled it with shame and guilt, spilling over with regret for what I can't remember, for the words that I forget. So I wake up to the big unknown. What did I do? Who did I do? Too scared to ask, piecing it together with phrases and glances, decoding the body language of whoever was around. Maybe I wasn't that bad this time or that time, but I sure wasn't myself. And all I can do is paint a picture with other people's paint, their stories and thoughts of who I was or what I did, until I'm just a collection of other people's projections of what happened in a night, not my own truth or reality. So then I become a shell, letting other people fill me in, the hell of blackout drunk. The damage doesn't quite go away, doesn't quite heal until you piece yourself together, one by one, day by day. Remember who you are. Remember what you say. Be okay with that fully, then fuller days grow where you remember them all, when it was you making the decisions, when it was you making the calls, speaking your mind, living in truth, not hiding behind a couple of drinks, then spilling it out, ashamed the next day. No. Now, instead, being able to stand behind everything you say.
Amazing. Just amazing, Camille. Really, like, getting into living in the head of the of me waking up so many mornings, you know, this is like speaking directly to people's experience and then ending it so beautifully with, you know, we're done here. I'm choosing not to do that anymore, mm-hmm. You know, not defeated, you know, because you feel so defeated when you're in that place, and to be able to read that and then say, no, I'm not going to be defeated. You know, I'm making the choices. I'm making the calls. I love it.
What was that line about other people's paint? That fucked me up. That was so good. Painting myself with other people's paint, something like that.
All I can do is paint a picture with other people's paint, their stories and thoughts of who I was or what I did, until I'm just a collection of other people's projections of what happened in the night. And like, it's just kind of like, you stop becoming yourself. You're just like kind of trying to figure out what happened. And then like, that's just who you are. And you feel like that's
our producer typed that line into the chat. He also likes it. That was a really good line. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's also, it's also a treat to watch you read the poetry. Like, I don't know if you, if you, do you perform? Like, do you read it anywhere? Like,
Just taking videos, but I would like to start doing that. Yes.
Yeah. It's where Lisa and I are very lucky to watch you read it because it's a different experience.
Yeah. I did a live stream to celebrate the book launch. And I had a couple people, people really enjoyed like the animation of it.
It's true. I mean, it's so personal. You know, the poetry is so personal and you really bring a lot to the page. And thank you for writing it and for reading. And before we let you go, we would love to know about music. Is there any music that inspires you? Maybe your writing, your recovery. Was there anything you were listening to?
Listening to lately? Like,
yeah. So when I was writing, when I was a lot younger, when I was in late high school, I listened to Ani DiFranco a lot, and her style really inspired me to just be honest and vulnerable and like kind of in your face and I liked her lyrical style too. And so she was very inspiring to me then. And so when I was writing this, I actually turned her on again and was listening to her a lot to get inspiration. So
that fits. That tracks for me with this. Yeah.
But it's funny how like certain music can bring you back to that, those like emotional states and like
100%.
Allow you to get it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. 100. And I, a huge believer. I have a writing playlist that is like the soundtrack of all the shit that happened and all the shit that got better.
Yeah. Okay. But quick writing question to you guys. I cannot listen to music with lyrics when I'm writing. Can you guys do that?
I can't listen to anything.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
I listen on my walks, and that's when it all comes in my head.
Oh, it's like a pre-write. You listen to like you pump yourself up.
It's a pre-write. It helps me envision what I'm going to write. Yeah.
Okay.
You write on walks too?
I listen to the music on walks, and picture the scenes and I picture what I'm going to write. Yeah.
I see. Yeah, a lot of my original lines, like the very first seeds of lines would come on walks when I wasn't like listening to anything. And I was just kind of like writing, would write down like a line or two here or there. And then I would go back and like work on it. And like, sometimes I would find a song with lyrics. And if it's like, there's one song that's like really hitting, I'll just like listen to it on repeat. Yeah. And then
I love it. That's so great. That's so great. Well, the book is Spill, everybody.
Yeah.
Camille, thank you so much for coming on. This has been wonderful. I really like she really nails it. She just gets in the way that, you know, I think is very heart opening and, you know, helps us heal. So thank you.
Great. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And everybody, we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.